Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
95.7 The Game. Find a pinned tweet at the top of the page and let us know what you think the greatest moment in Bay Area sports history is. That's going to be a lot of fun. We've already got some moments up there. We talked about Brian Johnson, two home runs in 1997 for the Giants to walk off. Steinies brought up some good ones. The Bear Davis dunk. Guru, of course, with the catch. We'll go dive into that, and we want your participation this Friday coming up, the Mount Rushmore of greatest moments in Bay Area history. Fellas, we were talking about the match to start the show. You know, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady versus Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning, and it was a lot of fun. So we got it to this or that. Who would you want? This or that? You know, watching the match, obviously you want Peyton Manning as a golfer over Tom Brady the golfer. Probably want Tiger Woods to golf over Phil Mickelson. Well, let's have some fun here. This or that, fellas. This or that. I'll just start it off right here with this or that. Hamburgers or hot dogs? Coming off a holiday weekend. Hamburgers or hot dogs?
A hamburger. Steiny.
Hamburgers. No doubt about
it. It's not even close. It's hamburgers. There's not a doubt
about it. And here's the reason it's hamburgers. When I say hamburger, you know what you're getting. You're getting a hamburger off a grill. But when you say hot dog, you're like, is it going to be boiled? Is it on the grill? I mean, are you cooking it in a frying pan?
Oh, I'm so out.
Is it going to be, how's the bun? Is the bun going to be? Right. You know, basically, a hamburger bun, it's more reliable. Burger's more reliable.
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
Yeah, McDonald's is so popular. It catered to the burger first. You know what I mean? Not the hot dog.
Yeah, to me, hot dogs are very overrated. Like when I see people go to the ballpark and buy a hot dog for like $7, $8, I'm like, for what? Hot dogs do nothing. I'm with you guys. Burgers, definitely. Ketchup or mustard? Ketchup or mustard?
Ketchup for me. Wow. I've never used mustard on anything in my life.
That's a problem.
Not once. Wow.
That's actually not
I'm
fair.
I'm going mustard.
It was ketchup for me early on. Ketchup on everything except eggs. I don't even eat those, but I just hate seeing them. But I was a ketchup guy, and now I've graduated. I can't remember the last time I had ketchup. It's mustard for me. Steiny, what are you missing? That old good mustard.
So when I think of mustard, I think of what people put on like a sandwich. And the only time I've ever used mustard is when there's I got to have some kind of moisture to the sandwich, otherwise it's going to be dry. But believe it or not,
dry.
I use butter on my sandwiches rather than mustard.
Oh, Steiny.
That is disgusting.
Put a little butter on. Like, I don't eat mayonnaise or mustard, but I'll eat butter on a sandwich.
And that'll be it? Wow.
With cheese and meat.
Oh, okay.
I put butter on to make the roll a little, you know, less dry.
Wow.
He has no pizza experience.
Hey, last thing, real quick. Look at Bonte, look at and I got Russell Crowe, Beautiful Mind. When you put a melted cheese on a perfect hamburger patty, it's almost like a baby pizza. Just think about that. A baby pizza. A nice fat patty. Some cheese on it.
I don't know if it's baby pizza, but I definitely agree with the cheese. The cheese
I've
on the patty, mustard
for
sure.
The last 30 days.
I'm not a ketchup guy. When I eat French fries, I don't eat French fries with anything. No ketchup. Tater tots, no ketchup. Eggs, sometimes ketchup, but I'm not a ketchup guy. I'm definitely more
a
mustard guy.
And I'm glad I didn't. I'll tell you what's good on eggs. Salsa. Salsa's good on eggs. Good red salsa.
Not bad.
Yeah.
It's better than butter on bread.
I've changed from ketchup on eggs to salsa on eggs.
There you go.
Salsa's not bad. I've done that. Yeah. I've done that. How about
gotta
this
be
one? This
gotta be red salsa, not green salsa, though.
There you go. Yeah, I agree with that. That's what I think of when I think of salsa. Larry Bird. All right, this or that. Larry Bird or Magic Johnson?
I mean, the white guy's going to say Bird. And
they call Bird Bird. Why? Because he looked
and
like a bird.
Go speak on it, Donnie. Speak on it.
And it's all good. It's all good. It's.
I'm not going to be.
Also, I'm from the
speak
East Coast.
Donnie, I'm about
Guru's
to, yeah.
from the West Coast. You know, Magic played in L.A. Bird played back East. I saw Bird play more. It's just, you know. Guess what? I could relate a little more to Bird than Magic.
Right.
Wink, wink. No kidding. I mean, yeah.
I'll say the Magic.
My favorite player.
Yeah,
of all
I just
time.
Related yeah. to Magic, fellas. He had the afro, and you know, I'm not racist at all, but I did see the things at my school, my high school, my junior high, to where all the black kids were rooting for Magic, and then the white guys would be rooting for Bird. And James Gibson, a good friend of mine from the UN, he was the one guy that loved Bird and the Celtics, and he had the green Parker, so he wore it with pride. But I don't know. You said it, Stoney. I just resonated with Magic. He looked like me. So I always was, you know, rooting for the Lakers when they played the Celtics.
All right. Yeah, the more and more I watch Bird, the more and more I'm becoming a Bird guy, especially on NBA TV. They just show Bird dropping 60 against the Hawks at New Orleans. You know what? I'm going to go
they
Magic
took away
here.
His four-point play.
Yeah, I'm going to go Magic here, but the more and more I watch Bird, the more and more I'm becoming a Bird guy. More and more I'm becoming a Bird guy. A couple more. Joe Montana or Steve Young? Joe Montana or Steve Young?
Can I go first here, Stoney? Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go.
Joe Montana. And, Monte, I know Steve's your guy.
I'm Joe Montana.
I can make an argument. He never really got over that Dallas hurdle, but he got the Super Bowl, beat the Chargers. But I just think, how do I say it, Stoney? He was Joe Montana light. Like, there's no way he compares to Joe. And reading coverages, I always thought, like, you know, Dallas could take advantage of him because he wasn't the best. He got over and he got his ring. I won't hate on Steve, but I just don't put him up there with Joe Montana. That's just my two cents. I went long.
Yeah, I'm at Steve Young for me. And a lot of it has to do just personally because I moved out here in 90. All right, so that means that the Niners had gotten, they'd won two already by then? When was the first one over the Bengals?
81.
That was 81, 81, 82.
Okay, so Montana was entrenched, but I didn't. So when I got out here, like, Montana was the man, but he hadn't been the man for me. I just moved out here. You know, I was an Eagles fan. So I just kind of liked Steve Young's whole – I thought he was classy. I thought Joe kind of came across as a little bit petulant, you know.
Aaron Rodgers.
Like, he got hurt, but he wanted to stay the court. You know, it's just – I just preferred Steve Young over Joe Montana, even though if you were to say, well,
here we go.
Montana's a better quarterback, yeah. I'd say, okay, so, maybe. But I prefer Steve Young.
Yeah, I'm a Steve Young guy. I know Joe Montana's great. He's the better quarterback. Four championships. Never threw an interception in the Super Bowl, although he should have.
Wow,
in Super
man.
Bowl 23. Guy from the Bengals dropped one right in the numbers. Wow. Next play, Jerry Rice scores a touchdown. Super Bowl 23 down in Miami. But I'm a Steve Young guy. He ran around. You know, he was Vic before Vic. You know, a lot of people don't know that. Steve Young would run around and make plays with his legs. He was tough. Love to just go head up with guys. Steve Young was the guy for me. I'm taking Steve Young here. Deion Sanders or Bo Jackson? Deion Sanders or Bo Jackson? This is a good one.
Whoa, this is. Wow. It's like Halle Berry or Beyonce. Go ahead, Stoney. It's my God.
Oh, boy. I'd probably say Deion Sanders. But again, it's just a personal thing because I didn't really have any connection to Bo Jackson. I wasn't out here when he ran for the Raiders, and I could care less about the Kansas City Royals. But Deion Sanders, you know, the fact that he was a 49er than a Cowboy during that time when I was out here, he, you know, and obviously the baseball with the Braves, I'd say Deion Sanders just personally for me.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this. When you talk trash like Deion did, you got to back it up. And Bo Jackson was humble, career cut short. And I'm going to say this about Bo. I remember two home runs in my lifetime. Barry Bonds in the World Series against the Angels. That thing is still going. And Bo's homer off of Rick Russell. I believe they were in Anaheim or the Angel Stadium.
Yeah, Anaheim.
Hit the tarp. Yeah, Anaheim. So Bo was a bad dude. But the fact that Neon Deion, and can return the punts and was the bad one of the baddest cover corners to shut down a side, and he's still badass on TV, I'm leaning towards Deion.
I love Deion Sanders. Love primetime, especially when he made a quote talking about they should change the name cornerback to Deion. He wanted to change the position name to Deion.
I've never heard that.
Because kids would grow up and say, hey, daddy, I want to play quarterback. Hey, daddy, I want to play running back. Or, hey, daddy, I want to play Deion. Like, seriously, hey, I read that one time in the Chronicles. Like, wait, what? But I've got to go with Bo Jackson, the greatest player on Tecmo Bowl history. If you had Bo Jackson, you were running all day. Really good with the Raiders. Heisman Trophy winner, broke the bats with his thighs, the home run you cited, Guru, in that All-Star game. Yeah, it was short-lived. But Bo Jackson, the stories that come from Bo Jackson when he was a kid, like just hitting balls 500 feet, hitting light towers as a kid, the way he could throw a football, the way he could shoot darts. Bo Jackson for me, I got to go with Bo, even though I love me some Deion Sanders. Last one here. Let's make it a good one here.
I like this.
We'll do two more. Memorial Day or Labor Day? Memorial Day or Labor Day?
Memorial Day. It's the start of summer, period. Labor Day's the end of summer. Doesn't get more simple than that.
See, I'm going different, Steiny. I'm going Labor Day. I'm older than you, Bonte. Steiny can remember this. Labor Day used to be week one. The Monday night holiday would be the first Monday night football game of the season of football. I'm talking about the NFL, and they went away with that, and I still don't understand why they did it. But I always – that signified to me is football, baby. And the Cowboys played the Redskins 1 year down 20 points at half. Danny White came back at RFK. So always take Labor Day, Steiny, over Memorial Day.
I'm a Labor Day guy. I'm a fall season guy. It's just, as you said, the start of football season, college football. The pennant race in baseball, don't forget about that. September, you get all the pennant races. Going into October, I've always been a Labor Day guy. You know, Memorial Day is cool, but it's like it started – Memorial Day kind of goes into that season where it's no man's land, where it's just baseball.
Yeah.
You're looking for something to do. I'm a Labor Day guy. Labor
and it's
Day
not
4th
of July, Steiny. When you talk about summer, is it 4th of July the summer holiday?
All right, here you go. Last one here.
It's 4th of July is halftime. 4th of July is halftime.
Yeah, I'm a Labor Day all the way.
Know, like,
last one here, fellas.
Yeah,
Charles Barkley or Draymond Green? Charles Barkley or Draymond Green?
Barkley.
Day-day!
Yeah, and I love Dre. I don't even like the matchup, and I love Draymond that much. I don't even think it's fair to Charles. I'm going Charles.
Well, I think we're talking about in terms of, you know, trash talking and all that stuff, too.
Trash talk, rings, career, who would you want to be? I'm going with Draymond Green. And I'm going to just play devil's advocate. I'm going Draymond.
That's
rings,
fair.
Money. Yeah, I think he's going to – and I think Draymond Green, he could do whatever he wants after his career. He could become a color analyst.
You think
he
could become, so?
He could be in the studio. He could be a coach. Draymond Green's got it set up for after his career. Draymond's going to be a star on television. You just watch. Draymond Green, I would rather be him than Charles Barkley. That's tough to say because I love Chuck.
And I'll leave you two with this. I can make the argument that Charles is bigger now at his job after NBA than he was, and he was a badass, but I think he's John Madden of the NBA, fellas.
Like, I could never see – as good as the three rings, I could never see Draymond earning the kind of appeal Barkley has – where he would actually have been on that golf thing on Sunday.
Good.
Charles,
you know what I mean?
Fat. That's called that's bullying. True. That was a good line.
And see, you know what, I'd love to see your fat ass try to jump a basketball right now.
You know, the one thing is you can make fun of Barkley and he'll laugh. See. I don't know about Draymond. You know, like those guys, like Shaq gives Barkley grief about rings. It's like the most sensitive thing that Barkley's got. So, you know, you start talking to Draymond, I'm like, oh, yeah, hey, by the way, you hear Steph Curry is having a back operation? Draymond, what are you talking about? He's been carried you the last 3 years.
Oh,
you know, stuff like that. Oh, I mean, roasted. I don't – like, I don't – you think he could laugh at that? Maybe after it's all over he could, but
– I hope
anyway,
so.
Anyway, that's the kind of stuff Barkley's got to take, you know?
I hope so. I remember TNT won, like, an Emmy or something, and Kenny Smith threw champagne over Charles Barkley. And Ernie's like, why are you doing that? And Kenny goes, he's never got the experience of champagne shower. This is it for Chuck. He's never got to experience
good.
It. And Man, Chuck's just sitting there kind of laughing.
Oh.
But that is a good point. I don't know if Draymond's got to toughen up there in that department. That'd be funny, though. I'm willing to see it, but I'll take Draymond Green there. That was a lot of fun, this or that. There's a lot of couple. You know what? The hell with it. 30 points on 15 shots or 40 points on 30 shots. Got to take the 30 on 15, right?
Of course.
I'm going full. Stein, give me if nobody want to read the box score. Give me the extra 10, Vonte. Your boy went for 40.
Of course, that's why I read it. I already know, Guru. If it was 40 points on 40 shots,
Kobe.
Guru's taking 40. Guru's taking 40 all day long. What?
How many shots does that have to get to for Guru to not take the 40 points?
There is no answer, Kyle.
You'd rather go 40 on 80 shots?
Well, hold on. Let's just say hypothetically, let's give him 8 free throws.
Hypotheticals.
All right. So that means he's getting 16 field goals unless we'll give him 4 3-pointers.
All right, that's 12.
All right.
Fair.
So he's got
that's fair.
So 10 buckets
so
16, now. We're down to 32. 20. 10 buckets.
No, I'm sorry. So here's his line. 14 for something, question mark. 4 for something. From 3, and then we'll say he was 8 for 12 from the line.
I'll take it, fellas.
28, 32. Yeah, that gets you to 40. So 14 for what?
27, 14 for 30, 32.
Well, of course you're going to take 14 to 27.
Yeah.
Would you take 14 for 40 to get to 40?
I'll do it. Allen Iverson's done it. Kobe's done it. All the greats have done it. I'll do it. Done it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That is bad.
Really bad.
Jordan used to have some 9 for 28 to get 31 points. You'd be like, man, Mike.
All right. Yeah. All right. 3-pointer or slam dunk, fellas. 3-pointer or slam dunk. Since I never dunked, wow. I'm taking a slam dunk.
But you never, not once in your life, B?
Tennis ball, but that doesn't count.
That don't count. Stiney,
no,
I think
count.
You said you had one time, right? The dunk?
Yeah, but it was like a volleyball or a flat basketball. You know what I mean?
That doesn't count.
I'm taking, that
doesn't count.
I'm taking, believe it or not, here's the upset. Definitely taking the dunk. Because the 3-point shot has done more to fundamentally alter the game more than anybody thinks it should have been altered. And the dunk didn't. The dunk added. Dunk added an element that was incredible to the game.
Added that
pizzazz. I'm like a little
dunk?
Kid. Yeah, I'm taking the dunk because, real quick, when you see a dunk, you see the guys on the bench and the other 9 players on the court. It's just like, hey, yeah, we just saw what that dude did. It's awesome.
Hey, I got an assignment for you guys.
Uh-oh. I got my pen.
Because we came out and we asked him, at some point in the next couple weeks, you have to do it tonight, watch Game 7 of the 1976 Western Conference Finals. The game that Rick Barry has been criticized for, that he came on our show today and just said was the biggest crock of BS
Man.
He's ever heard.
Seriously.
In his entire life, and it still hurts him to this day. Just at some point. You got to watch the whole game.
All right, I got you.
Yeah.
Oh, you know I do it.
I'll admit, like I said, I watched it a week or two ago. I didn't think it was obvious that, like – the stories have made it seem like he quit, and you could tell he quit.
Wow. Okay.
No chance. There's sometimes the ball doesn't find you. It was a weird game. Yes, he was passive, no doubt about it. And then he took a couple forced ones late, but I don't know if that was a quit. So I'm going to take Rick at his word there.
Yeah, Rick was hot, Monte.
I mean, he was on fire this morning. Rick Berry, of course, joined us at 11 o'clock. If you want to go back and listen to that, 9570game.com. But we've had Rick on a lot over the years. I haven't heard him like that. He was adamant. And talking about the broadcaster for the Phoenix Suns, who was it?
Al
Rosen, I want to say.
Al McCoy.
Al McCoy. And he said he saw him and just ripped him. And, hey, what did McCoy say? Who cares what he said? I mean,
right.
Rick was
exactly.
hot. He was exactly. hot. And didn't say that they're going to beat the Celtics. And that was a game they were showing on today when the Celtics played the Phoenix Suns in that 76 NBA final where he went to triple overtime. And Rick Berry was on the broadcast. That had to eat him alive watching those games and broadcasting and thinking, we should have won the damn game.
And the fact that Rick was underrated on the broadcast.
Think about that. Butch Beard gets traded because the GM had an issue with his wife. I mean,
wow, man. Is there any doubt that Rick would have made a good coach? I honestly believe Rick would have made a good coach.
Yeah, I think there is doubt. I think there is doubt. Yes.
Wow,
absolutely.
I mean, because there would have been clashes, right? Him and Draymond wouldn't have been able to, you don't think they would have.
He
wouldn't have lied, Bonte. He would have told you, you're slow. You need to improve this. And this
does
is
that
why
make you a good coach?
This is why you're not going in the game. I think honesty is a big part of it, man. Especially nowadays.
All you said was, does anybody doubt he would be a good coach? Absolutely. I doubt that. That's all. He might have been. But, hey, guys, so like here, this is what I mean. So before Rick came on, I Googled because I wanted to. So I Googled Game 7, Western Conference Finals, Rick Barry, 1976. You know the first thing that comes up? You know what it says? Rick Barry allegedly, that's in parentheses, sabotaged the defending champion Warriors from winning Game 7 due to a beef with his teammates. It's in that, and I get it, it's in that little box that's kind of like a wick of red. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's the first thing that came up when you Google that. So it's like, God.
So YouTube, obviously, is that how you got it? Or the NBA TV app, Bonte, which doesn't go far at all in regard to its catalog. All right, I got it.
Yeah, you two will have it. And here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Let's revisit our interview with Rick Berry. We have some cuts from that about him being a quote-unquote bad teammate, what happened in 75 and 76, and all that stuff. That's coming up right here on BSNG. Did not hold back this time around. You never know what you're going to get with Rick Berry. But, boy, he was very talkative this morning. And let's start playing these cuts here. Let's start off with this one. He was talking about his ring. Guru asked about his ring, whether or not he wore it or not. Here's what Rick Berry had to say about that.
I have a Hall of Fame ring. I have an NBA Top 50 ring. I never wear them. You play the game to win championships. It's a team. It's not about individual accolades and awards. And so, yeah, it's meaningful. I'm very appreciative of the fact that I was chosen as one of the top 50 players. I'm very appreciative that I was chosen and elected to go into the Basketball Hall of Fame. But I equate it this way. The awards that you get, I mean, I had steal championships and free throw championships and scoring championships and MVP of an all-star game, whatever. So all of those things, it's kind of like having a cake, right? You have candles and you have cherries and you have the decorations and all that stuff. Well, I have a lot of that stuff. But the thing is a lot of guys don't have the cake. The cake is the championship. So how do all of those things look sitting on a plate with no cake? It'll
Great
look
point.
Good.
Rick
Great
Berry.
Analogy.
Not
wow,
bad.
That was. But yeah. I will say this, though. Sometimes you can't control if your team doesn't win and say you're the best player on the team, Bonte and Steiny, and you get MVP or, you know, all NBA. Those things come with it. You got to accept them, but it's not how you wanted it. But he was very he made a compelling case about, yeah, that's the ultimate goal is the chip.
Yeah. That's what we all believe.
Here's Rick Berry, the narrative of him being a bad teammate.
I mean, if I was such a bad person, then why am I still friends with all these people?
Right.
Rick, break.
Rick, real quick, you say all that. Do you think those false narratives kept you from being an NBA head coach?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, they were all afraid of me. You know, we couldn't control them. And they probably were right about that. They wouldn't have been able to control me. Because if you're going to hire me to do a job, I'm going to do the job in the best way I think that it should be done. And if it doesn't work, in fact, I was willing, if they were to give me a chance. I was told so many times I never had a legitimate interview to get a job. And people ask me, Warriors, is Rick going to get a chance? Oh, yeah. No, I never got a legitimate interview.
Rick Barry on whether or not he could have been a head coach and says,
what does control mean, Steiny and Bonte? What does control mean? Like, Rick, we want you to do this.
Well,
I'm doing that. What's control?
That's vintage right there, because that's why you get fired. Like, when an owner can't control you. I mean, so he said, well, they wouldn't have been able to control me. Well, I mean, and here's the thing. I wouldn't say anything to Rick right now that I wouldn't have said a half hour about him, you know, with him on the line.
Yeah.
But I would, I would have just, Rick, they would have said the same, like, if you can't control you, if they thought that before you were going in and you were even acknowledging it, yeah, they're probably not going to take a chance on you. I agree with him, though. The fact that, like, I actually don't think Rick would have been a great coach. But he probably should have gotten some interviews, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, he basically was petitioning for that job with the Golden State Warriors. Did not get one interview. It sounds like a lot of people held some of the things he did in his career, in post-career, maybe some of the things he said, they held it against him. But I have no idea whether or not he would have been a good coach or not. But it's kind of fascinating when you look at the NBA and its history. All these legends are, a lot of players get an opportunity to go back and coach. And the fact that he didn't have an interview, a legitimate interview, that's kind of tough. That's tough, man.
For a team that you played for, B.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of hard to believe that he didn't get one legitimate interview. Now, here's what he said about his 1975 championship team, who he deems. Look, yesterday was a 45-year anniversary of when the Warriors beat the Bullets. Here's what he had to say about that team being the most underrated.
There hasn't been a more dramatic upset an accomplishment in a major sport in this country than what we pulled off. A team that wasn't even supposed to make the playoffs. Not only do we make the playoffs, we wind up winning our division. We wind up winning our conference. And then we're supposed to be in the biggest mismatch in the history of the NBA finals. And we're going to get swept, and we sweep the team that's going to sweep us. Guys, it doesn't get any more dramatic than that. And our team and my teammates have not been given the recognition they justifiably deserve for that. It was an incredible accomplishment on our part.
Rick Barry. Have you heard that before, Stardiego, from Rick Barry about that team being the most underappreciated team in North American sports history and what they accomplished in 1975? Because I could think of Patriots over the Rams, right? That's a big upset. Broncos over the Packers. To me, that's a big upset. Granted, I wasn't around in 1975, but I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, I've heard Rick say something along those lines. And again, I think he's making a little bit of a differentiation, because I think he's taking that whole year in entirety. You know, he's saying, hey, at the beginning of the year, we were supposed to be – you know what? Somebody help me out here. It's not going to be one of you guys. Because it's a soccer, the English Premier League. I want to say, a few years back, somebody won the English Premier League.
Leicester City.
Yeah, I know about that, Steiny. I know about the Premier League.
Okay,
well, so Kyle got it.
So that tells me, like, Rick's thinking about it start to finish. I don't think he's thinking about it like, I don't think he's putting Villanova, Georgetown into that same thing. I think he'd say, well, that's one game. I'm talking about, all season. And then we finally got to the Bullets. And the Bullets, by the way, were great back in that era, so they were favored. So I kind of get what he's saying that way. Sorry, Goo.
No, I was just saying the Warriors swept them. They didn't just win. They swept,
Yep.
And we very rarely hear about the I shouldn't even say this. I can't remember going to a Warrior game as I was growing up with Pops to where that team was remembered. And I know it's happened, but I should know that team like the back of my hand up until the Steph Curry years, like the 75 team was it. You know, they shocked the world.
And Rick Barry also said he made it known to us. He said he talked the talk, and he basically said Michael Jordan was the worst teammate to me. Basically said, I was a softball compared to Michael Jordan. That was pretty interesting too, because I hear the stories about Rick Barry, you know, quote unquote being a bad teammate. I don't know any better because I never saw Rick Barry play other than highlights. But that was interesting to hear him say that Michael Jordan was a worse teammate than himself. Like, you know, I know some people scoffed at that, but Rick Barry was pretty adamant about that.
You know, I can't quite – I don't know exactly where I'm going here, but I'll just go and then you guys can either get out of the car or keep going. So, you know, Rick Barry came on the show and he said, you know, clearly he had a Zoom conference with the championship team, right?
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I was all thinking, you know, we all played sports in high school and we're on teams and growing up as kids. And you can always remember who were on your team. You can always. Yeah. I can tell you, I remember you know, Mick Kondrak was the ninth man when I was a senior at college. And, you know, we just know them all. If you've played with them for an entire season. So I'm thinking of Rick Barry. And it's like, okay, he just has a conference call or a Zoom call. And you know what? All his teammates are there. They kind of know Rick's got some warts and he's harsh. And maybe he's been a jerk at times, this and that and the other thing. But it's still that championship team that when they get together, there's something there. And here's what I'm getting at. This is where I think Michael Jordan maybe made a big mistake. Is by doing what he did and by alienating Cartwright and maybe Parrish and Scottie Pippen and Craig Hodges and all those guys he kind of stuck it to, Horace Grant, it's taken something away from those teams that they won't be able to enjoy from here on out, which is just getting together with old teammates and not having to deal, not mattering who was a good guy, who was a jerk, because all you do is remember back when it was. But now that it's fresh, I could see some of these guys like, hey, babe, Bulls getting together for I'm not going to that. I'm not going to that. Well, then it does. Then you are kind of hurting everybody's future experiences in a way. I don't know.
Great point, man. But and I was part of the Cub Scouts, so I'm the camaraderie guy, the Commodores. I like groups. Yeah, I like groups, and I like for the groups to always get along, and when you leave, always still have love for one another. But I didn't get that from Cartwright, though, and I was going to ask him, but we got out. But feel like I don't know if they're – obviously Mike doesn't even have a best friend. You know, he'll probably tell you that.
Cartwright
but I
was feel guarded, like, too.
Yeah, but he respected Mike, though.
You're right,
you know,
too.
They ain't talking every day, but I feel like he respected what Mike did, Bonte, if you get where I'm going. Horace is different, though.
But, like, that's the kind of thing. Like, I think Bill Cartwright did have a problem with Jordan. But every time he saw Jordan, he's probably, hey, Michael, how you doing? And you weren't crazy about him, but when you see him, you go right back to the good times. You don't go to the fresh in everybody's mind – now it's going to be like, I don't really even want to be with that guy.
Right.
It's
tainted. Yeah.
And I get it. Michael might not care.
You know what? I could see Craig Hodges not showing up. Craig Hodges could be like, screw it. I don't give a damn about this. But Horace Grant, there's some fugazi to his games. There's some fraudulence going on with Horace Grant. There is.
Bonte? Please explain for
Go ahead. I was about to
our
say,
listeners
I will explain.
And me.
There's some fakeness going on in Horace Grant's game. He's a little fugazi, a little fake. Okay. And what I say about that is he's out there talking and saying that, you know, Michael did this and Michael did that and Michael Jordan's taking shots at him. Hey, Rob Latall for Black Sports Online tweeted out something last week and everybody ran with it. It was the cover of Baseball Insider or Basketball Insider or something like that. And Horace Grant's on the cover, and it's split with him and Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen. There's a line between those two. And on the headline, it says, Horace Grant has basically had it. He ripped Scottie Pippen, says Scottie Pippen thinks he's cocky and arrogant. He thinks he's made it. Phil Jackson is this and that. So Horace Grant was taking shots at these guys while he is playing with them. So he's had some feud with that organization for quite some time. And there is something to what Will Perdue said about Horace Grant, basically saying he had some jealousy issues.
Yeah.
He was jealous of Michael Jordan. And Sam Smith said it to us. He had a 28-12 game, and the questions are about Michael Jordan. So Horace Grant, as much as he's talking, I guarantee you Horace Grant shows up to that because he ain't in the limelight anymore. And I got a feeling that Horace Grant is loving this limelight that he's getting over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Horace Grant showed up, Steiny and Goo. I think he's putting on a show right now.
You may
and Stein, you, I'll go ahead, Stein.
You may be right, but I guarantee you Horace Grant then goes up to Will Perdue and's like, what? What did he say about him? Purdue?
Yeah, that he was jealous that he wasn't getting enough credit.
Yeah, you know, so he Grant's going to go up to Will Perdue and be like, so I'm jealous? So you went and you tell everybody in the world I'm jealous? It's kind of weird. It's a soap opera, really.
And I'm going to say this about the lead character in the soap opera, because our interview, you guys did a phenomenal job with Sam Smith. It made its rounds last week, and the reason it made its rounds is because he said a lot of what was in the doc was made up. And, again, I'm not perfect. The listeners know I'm not. But when we hear stuff, we judge. Michael, my favorite athlete of all time, but there's audio out after he looked in the camera on The Last Dance, said he had nothing to do, I'm going off here, just bear with me, with Isaiah not being on a dream team, and now we have audio. And Michael may not care what that looks like, but I do. Daryl Johnson cares because, Mike, I thought at least everything you were doing on the screen, you wouldn't be that, you wouldn't just take it to that point degree to where you would just blatantly lie to a nation. And you did that. And now I feel bad for Isaiah Thomas. That won't get him back on the team. But it doesn't change Mike being the GOAT for me, but it does change who Michael Jordan is. I didn't know him before The Last Dance, and I won't know him after. But I'm grown enough, fellas, to say this. That's a bad look on anybody that lies to the camera, and then we get audio 72 hours going against everything he said. And to me, that bothers me, Bonte, and I can't let it go, Steiny, that he did it and now there's audio. And again, only God can judge, but that's a bad look for Mike. And all the other stuff, I kind of just shunned it away. No big deal. MJ just having fun. But for you to say you had nothing to do with it, give us that story, and now we got audio, there's nothing to even say, Michael Jordan. And that just bothers me.
It's a bad look for Michael Jordan. It's a bad look.
It's what Steiny was saying all last week. Not he hated Jordan, just like we don't know what's real and what's not. And Sam touched on it, and Bonte, here we are.
It's a bad look for Jordan. It's a bad look for Charles Barkley. And look, I didn't ever believe Jordan. I know he had something to do with that.
Okay, see, there you go.
He definitely had something to do with Isaiah not being on. But I don't believe Jordan was the only one. I don't believe Michael Jordan was the only one that had a problem with Isaiah not being on that dream team. That's just my personal opinion. When I see Barkley lumped in that same paragraph with Michael Jordan basically saying, yeah, I'm not playing with Isaiah Thomas, I believe all of them was like that.
I think Barkley knows. I think Barkley knows. Barkley knows he was in on it. Because Barkley and Jordan were boys back then. But, I mean, we were talking about Sam Smith. The reason last week that thing made the rounds, our interview with him, was because he used the word liar. Michael didn't exaggerate. Michael didn't remember things a little differently. He called him a liar. And as we can even tell in politics, that word's worse than, well, he's not telling the truth. She's not being forthcoming. Left some facts out. When you say liar, That's a significant upgrade of, a bad characteristic.
95.7 The Game breaking news. Brought to you by Dell Technologies Small Business Conference. Listen at radio.com/Dell.
Breaking news, but not the news you guys are looking for. Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, says that the regular season is over and says the remaining 24 teams will resume play in a tournament hosted at two hub cities to be named later. Bettman also says there are 10 hub cities under consideration for the two host spots: Las Vegas, Toronto, Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, Edmonton, Dallas, LA, Minnesota, Vancouver, and Pittsburgh. Bettman confirms top four teams in each conference play three-game round robin with playoff seeding at stake, while the bottom eight teams in each conference play a best-of-five play-in series. This is from Pierre LeBrun. He's a TSN hockey insider. That is from Gary Bettman, the Lettuce, on the NHL. They are scrapping the regular season and going straight to the playoffs, and it looks like they're going to be eight to ten cities in consideration to host these playoffs.
So cool. I was just going to add, I'm excited. Is there going to be a – what's the training camp again? Because they're coming back, but you got to go through the – no, they got to skate. What you think? 2 weeks, a week?
Well, it's like anything else. We got to give them a few weeks and then get back to it. But you know what? I do think this is important because I think this is kind of – this is what the NBA is going to scrap the rest of the regular season too.
Okay.
That's the big thing he did. But – he's also saying we're taking eight more teams to finish the season than we would to see, because it said, 24 teams? Well, that's three
24 teams.
Week. Yeah.
24 teams.
So that actually means here six teams aren't playing.
And how about this? The top four teams in each conference will play a three-game round robin with the playoff seeding at stake. That's interesting to me. That's interesting. So they're not just giving the top four teams in each conference a bye week. You're right. They're basically saying go out there and play for your seed, and then we'll have the rest of the conference. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the latest from the NHL. That will be announced too, or we're going to get more updates on that at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. So maybe the NBA takes notice. But how about this? Are the Sharks part of that top 24? Are the Sharks going to be involved in the playoffs? I got to find that out. I mean, come on, guys. Playoff
hockey. I've been to a Shark playoff game on the tank. At the tank. Rick Tittle.
Steiny, you're not a big hockey guy?
I love hockey in person. In person. Mm, it's a totally different sport in person than on TV. But, I don't want to answer definitively about what's going on with the Sharks right now. I haven't really been tapped into that situation.
Well,
go do some reading on it after the show.
Well, I'll do some reading for you here. The Sharks would not qualify the top 24. They are dead last in the Western Conference. San Jose Sharks, dead last. Yeah, that is a big problem. They would not
be
participating.
They were a fixture in the playoffs, though. They had a good run. They'll get back, fellas. They were there. They had their chances to get it done.
Thanks,
thank you.
David Ratto, Kulski coming up next. Tom Glavin will join the boys at 4 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Rick Barry was really good. Go back on 95.7thegame.com to find that interview. Also, Trevor Emmelman from the PGA Tour, he joined us as well. Check out that interview. That was a lot of fun as well. Boys, enjoy this heat. It is hot out here in the Bay
Look
Area.
At it,
it's hot. It is hot. I got to get
in.
Out this
I'm
house.
I'm staying in. Uh-oh, you getting out. I'm in.
I'm getting out. Steiny Goo, talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. This all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.